All right, and we are going to continue our media availability around the AAA 400 with two members of the race-winning organization at Stewart Haas Racing, crew chief Rodney Childers, as well as team owner Tony Stewart. Rodney, we'll start with you. Obviously, a lot has been made about the speed in the four car this year, but this is not the first year that you guys have come out of the box strong since you've been together. But it seems like the results have just been different this year. Four wins, it's the strongest start that you guys have had on the results side of things. What has made 2018 different?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just having a year under our belt, you know, to work with Ford and all that stuff, you know, to get our tools better, to get our cars better, to understand the aero side of it more. I feel like that a lot of it is just confidence, you know, when you have confidence in the cars and the tools and everything going on. You know, I think, you know, the biggest thing is just, you know, all the cylinders are clicking right now and they're working together. And you know, somebody asked me a minute ago about the same thing, and you know, the biggest thing is, you know, we haven't went back and talked about the races that we've won. We go back and we talk about how to get better every week, and we build better race cars, and they build better engines, and we've done better on pit road. And you know, to keep this going, we're going to have to get a lot better every single week, and to keep it to where it needs to be, you know, when the championship comes around. So, like I said, everybody's working hard. All the guys are building great cars, and Kevin's doing a great job here at the racetrack.
And, Tony, we'll move on to you. Obviously, we saw today that it wasn't just the 4 that's been running well. It's the 14, it's the 41, it's the 10. From an owner's perspective, how do you keep that momentum across the organization all season long, knowing that teams like the 78 and the Gibbs cars are going to be fast throughout the season? So how do you maintain that throughout the whole organization?
Well, I think it's days like today that build the momentum in the organization. I mean, it's another milestone for us to have three cars in the top five today. So, you know, we're proud of everybody. It's like Rodney said, I mean, you know, to be in our second year of building our own chassis, and our aero department, I feel like, on point right now. Just you know, every aspect of it, everybody's working hard, and you know, it's about evolution. I mean, it's just you have to keep evolving and keep pushing the envelope. And you know, the great thing is I think the thing that's really easy for organizations, and I think Brett Favre said this in a quote once, is that, you know, success is kind of one of the worst things that can happen to you, is because, you know, some guys feel like they've got where they need to be, and they lose that intensity, and that's something that I feel like our group is really good about, of not losing that focus on the fact that, you know, we're a technology-driven sport, and you know, we have to keep pushing all the time to keep finding more things to go faster and be better than we were the week before. And Rodney really hit on it there. It's, you know, we go back and we celebrate the wins, but we, instead of looking behind us at what we did, we look forward at what we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do the next week. And that's something that from the ownership side, and you know, for Gene and I, we're really proud of our group. I mean, it you know, Greg Zipidelli, and you know, the aero group and the chassis department, and everybody at Roush Yates Engines, and you know, Mobile One that works really hard with Roush Yates. I mean, it's just a bunch of people that really have the eye on the prize, so to speak. And you know, it's days like today that you know, when you can get four cars that are running as well as these four did today, it's an awesome feeling. So, you know, it's just we'll high-five each other at the shop tomorrow, but at the same time, we're digging for the next week and trying to get ready for Kansas now and try to do the same thing again next weekend.
All right. Well, we'll open things up here to the floor. We'll start with Tom in the back, or Mike in the back, and then we'll go to Bob.
Mike Hember, USA Today. Tony, watching Kevin drive this race today, it's hard to believe it took him 30 times to win here. You won here almost immediately when you were driving. Could that have been just mostly about the cars, or does it take even some of the best drivers a while to click in at some tracks?
I don't know. You know, when I was driving, this was one of the hardest places I felt like to win at. I mean, it's especially, you know, for a concrete track, you don't think the temperature really means a lot, but it's really big here for some reason, and not so much at Bristol, but it seems like for a concrete track, this place is more temperature sensitive than some of the asphalt tracks we go to, And then especially when you get a rain delay like that where, you know, the rubber kind of gets cleaned off, this track is really hard to maintain the balance on. So, you know, it at times can get really frustrating. So I think for drivers, I mean, really there's no drivers that back into a win here. I mean, it's guys that have a lot of experience and you know, figure it out. So, you know, just Kevin's so good here. It's just he knows what his balance needs to be in happy hour to be good in the race. And like I say, it's just, you know, from the beginning of the race to the end of the race, the cars change so much here that you have to really kind of stay two steps ahead of it to be right at the end of the day.
Then we'll go to Bob.
Bob Hockers, ESPN. Tony, how big an impact has Tony Gibson had with this new role that he's in, and exactly kind of what is he doing?
Well, he's kind of the floor babysitter, so to speak. I mean, kind of joking about it, but I mean, he's made a huge impact. I mean, you really need somebody of his caliber on the floor to really tie this all together, and I think that's really what we've seen here is, you know, having him tie all four of these teams together at the shop and kind of watch over everything and make sure that you know, we're staying the course. I mean, it's easy to, when you got four crew chiefs and four engineers, it's easy to kind of get going four different directions if you're not careful, and I think that's something that Tony's been really good at is kind of tying it all together and, you know, making sure that we're all working together as one unit at the shop, and then when we go to the racetrack, it's, you know, same philosophy that I drove under when we were at Gibbs was that we were one unit at the shop, and when we went to the race team, then we were separate race teams, but, you know, we still work together, and I think that's what Tony's really been good about at the shop is just kind of tying all four of these teams together and you know, keeping the general focus of what we're trying to accomplish together.
All right, we'll go up here to the front.
Kyle McFadden, theracingexperts.com for Tony, and Ronnie Kinnaird, his perspective on this as well. This is now the sixth win in the last 14 races for your team, Tony, and you also have three drivers in the top six in the point standings. When you switched to Ford in 2017, is this kind of trajectory what you pictured?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that you really set a benchmark on where you want to be. I mean, the goal is just to go forward. But the hard thing is to set a benchmark of where it's actually going to go. But, you know, I think from the ownership side, I mean, this is, you know, days like today are what you dream of. I mean, to have three in the top five and to have the start to the season that we've had, it's, you know, the partnership with Ford's been amazing so far. And the support that we've been given and their dedication to what they want the results to be. I mean, it definitely shows, and it's, you know, it's the support that we need. So, you know, we're proud of that. We're proud of the engine program. You know, Ford's worked with Roush Yates for a long time on the engines, and, you know, to have a unique scenario like we have with Doug Yates and to work with Mobile One to create our own package is something that, you know, we really haven't had that opportunity in the past. So it's, you know, it's a great partnership so far, and I feel like Rodney says, it took a year to really get to where we could refine on what we built on the first year. I mean, I think we were really happy with the way last year went, our first year out of the box with Ford, but to have a winter where we're not really overhauling the entire program and able to sit there and take what we have and refine it, I think it's made this year extremely productive.
All right, any more questions on the floor here for Rodney and Tony? And any questions in the box?
Did you meet him?
No questions.
Did he introduce you?
No.
He didn't introduce himself?
No.
I made him introduce himself to the whole media center. I said,
who are you?
I'm Matt. I'm kind of new to IMC, so Kevin had not seen me before, okay. So I did a little introduction the other day.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
Moving on.
Anyway. We are now joined by our race winner, Kevin Harvick, winner of the AAA 400 Drive for Autism here at Dover International Speedway. Kevin, obviously a great battle towards the end of that race with Clint. You guys battled throughout the entire day. What's going through your mind when you're battling a teammate like that? And talk us a little bit through how you got past him.
Yeah, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I've talked so much trash to him all weekend, and he's already told me the Karma train is going to run me over.
when it started raining. But we had a fun weekend just because, you know, when you come to Dover, I feel like Clint is one of the people that you're going to have to beat just because of the fact that he's been so good for so many years here. So, you know, to be able to race with Clint for a win and, you know, is for me, like I told him, I said, if I'm not going to win this race today, I said, you need to win this race. So get up there and go after it, because at that point we didn't know what was going to go after the, you know, happened during the pit stop. But to be able to race with him is a lot of fun, and I'd much rather keep it within the house, you know, than racing with somebody else. But it was fun with Clint, and had a really good battle there with Brad for about 50 laps and at the end of the second stage. And we went back and forth and finally were able to get by him. But that was a lot of fun.
All right, we'll open things up to the floor here. Any questions for Kevin? Start with Jessica.
Jessica Rev of NASCAR.com. Kevin, you mentioned in Victory Lane that with the Miles the Monster trophy, you said, hey, Keelan, don't break the arm off this one. Did he break the arm off the last one?
He did, yeah. So Miles is pretty popular, as you can imagine, with the kids. And so the first one that we won, we took it home and put it in his playroom. And I said, you can keep it in your playroom. So first day I came home and he had the arm broken half off of the thing. So, you know, when I talked to him after the race, he said, Dad, you bringing that trophy home? I said, I'm bringing it home, but do not break the arm off of this one. So I have no idea how he broke it, but it is hollow. So he must have landed on it or hit something with it.
Where are you going to put this one so he doesn't break it?
I'm sorry?
Where are you going to put this one so he doesn't break it?
Oh, he can break it. It's fine. Yeah. We'll put it in the same spot. We'll put it in the same spot in the playroom for a while. We'll have to go hose it off first because it smells like beer. So it's always strange trying to explain to people why his playroom smells like beer. So we'll yeah. But no, we'll clean it up and put it in his playroom. So we glued the other one back together. It's fine.
All right. Any more questions in the back? Oh, we'll go to Bob up here in the front.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. The TV commentators were saying they felt you were kind of the team to beat from that first run in practice on Friday. Did you have a similar feeling? And if you did, what's it like to kind of have that feeling and kind of come through and win a race?
It's actually a lot harder, believe it or not, because you don't want to screw it up. You know, I felt like we had a really good car from the time we unloaded. I think you could tell that from where we qualified. That's usually not my strong point in qualifying up here, and to be able to qualify on the front row. And we had just three great practices, and everything just kind of fell into place. And when they dropped the green flag, it was definitely still good. So it was just one of those weekends where the car was spot on from the time we got here, and the guys are just doing a great job. Everybody is just so detail oriented right now, and I feel like we're playoff racing on a weekly basis, and if you're going to win a bunch of races, that's what you have to do.
Go up here in the front.
Kevin, obviously everybody looking at the weather forecast, considering the past weekend, did you view really that break, that 40-minute break, as more of a help or a hindrance or really a momentum shift at any point?
Yeah, you never really know how it's going to go after they blow the whole racetrack off and there's no rubber on the racetrack anymore. And you know, for me, when we dropped the green flag, we got to about lap 12 was just, for whatever reason, it was the button on my car, and it would really allow me to start opening the racetrack up and move around the racetrack. And I could tell that Clint was loose. My car was at that particular point really good. And I wanted to move up the racetrack and try to put as much pressure on him as I could, because I felt like the more rubber that got on the racetrack, the less the front was going to turn through the center of the corner. At that particular time, it was turning really good, and I could keep the power down, and I could see that he was loose. So we wound up being a lot looser than we were the whole race, the last run, but it sounded like the whole field was. So, it worked out fine, and we were able to manage the car and take advantage of the, you know, the first 15 or 20 laps there to get the lead.
And we'll go to Hembree next. In the back row.
Mike Hembree, USA Today. Kevin, nobody watching this race would have guessed it took you 30 times to win here. Was that streak more about the cars you didn't have or the circumstances or what?
No, I mean, we were always just not very good up here. And when I started at Stuart Haas Racing, one of Rodney's main goals was to run good up here, because he knew how much it frustrated me and felt like that we had a lot to draw from at that particular time with the having the partnership with Hendrick and the success that Stuart Haas itself had up here. So from the very first day that we rolled in here in 2014, we ran well and have had chances to win pretty much every race since we've come up here. So I like driving here. We just never had the speed that it took at the beginning of my career to do what we've been doing over the last few years.
All right. Any more questions down here on the floor? And we'll go up to the box.
No questions.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Thank you, guys. Congrats.